we can always pray to Ramchandra for the same benediction that the sages of Dandakaranya pray. Not to become distracted from our focus on Radha.
What are some of the subtle pitfalls or obstacles that the devotee encounters as he has to go through them?
The name anartha, aside from just the bodily conception of life, which is the downfall of many devotees, is that they're afraid to become attracted to the beauty of Krishna. They deny themselves the golden opportunity. Of course, that is due to insufficient association, based on a lack of receptivity. Because actually, Srila Prabhupada is a Rasik Vaishnava. And his purports are laced with his bhavas, internal bhavas, which if the disciple is receptive and perceptive, he will naturally become appreciative of that internal realm of what Srila Prabhupada has to offer. And he will naturally become enchanted by the actual goal that Srila Prabhupada is directing us toward. But those who are less receptive, because after all we started out with the discussion that there's necessity for both the potent spiritual master and the receptive disciple for there to be the engendering of the creeper of prema, which is supposed to bear the fruits of prema. If we are not sufficiently fortunate, erup pramanda bramite kon bhagyavanji. Bhagyavanji means a fortunate soul. But there's different kinds of fortune. Erup pramanda bramite kon bhagyavanji. Guru Krishna, not Guru Narayan, not Guru Ramchandra, but Guru Krishna Prasadivai, Braja Bhakti Lata Bij. This Braja Bhakti Lata Bij, or the seed of attraction, based on attraction, that means rag. Rag means attraction. So the seed of attraction to the realm of Braja, the seed of attraction to the hope to serve Krishna, following in the footsteps of the Brajavasi, will come upon a fortunate soul. But if he's not fortunate, then even if, or if he's lacking sufficient good fortune, what is that fortune? Fortune means sukriti, previous sukriti. If the sukriti is of the nature of shastra vishvas, vishvas means shraddha, or faith, shastra vishvas, faith in the scriptures, scriptural injunctions, scriptural injunctions alone, do this, don't do this, like that. Then if his sukriti is based on that shastra vishvas, then he may be lacking the sufficient good fortune or sukriti which is based on this attraction, based on the rag influence, due to insufficient association or lack of accumulation of previous lifetimes of association with rag bhaktas. So then, if he's not fortunate, he will not be sufficiently receptive to actually accept the seed and plant the seed in his heart and water it with the appropriate hearing and chanting. You may get some kind of bhakti, but when we say Guru Krishna Prasadivai, Bhakti Latapij, the implication is Braja Bhakti Latapij. Krishna is involved. But if someone becomes attracted to and attached to hearing about the leelas of Lord Ramchandra, in other words, he focuses his whole devotional energy upon the Ramayana or such literatures, which are not dealing with the principles of Braj Bhakti, the realm of Braj Bhakti, the attractiveness about that realm, then to be real, even if he's got a powerful Rasik Vaishnava guru, but he will not be able to do the progress which is required on account of lack of good fortune, lack of receptivity. At least, perhaps not in this lifetime. because after all, he had enough good fortune to come into contact with a Rasik Vaishnava like Srila Prabhupada, and therefore he has sufficient, in other words, by the mercy of that devotee has offered his association, and to some extent the disciple may have taken that association on one level or another, but he may not have the sufficient sukriti to recognize the actual superlative nature of what that Vaishnava has to offer. But because he's associated with him on one level or another, and to a certain extent he's received some merciful benedictions from that Vaishnava, so perhaps in the next life, if he doesn't wind up in Vaikuntha first, in the next life he can make further progress. In other words, gradually, because he's associated, but he's not associated very deeply with that Vaishnava. But because he is associated, gradually it may be possible for the accumulation of Lobamoy Bhaktimukhe Sukriti to come to him in due course. And in the future, he may make further progress on the Rag Mark. But if we can avail ourselves to the influence of our Gaudiya Sampradaya receptively and actually gain a deeper appreciation of the actual mission of our Sampradaya to propagate Rag Bhakti in the world and allow that propagation to touch our hearts, then we can understand that we're very fortunate souls that have come up to the position of having at least a certain degree of covetousness, desire, ardently desire, the goal of Braj Bhakti.
And you mentioned before about the appropriate hearing and chanting. What do you mean by appropriate?
Appropriate means the hearing and chanting of subject matters which will allow us to become attracted to the essence of what those subject matters are all about. In other words, you cannot expect to become attracted to the realm of Braja by hearing about the realm of Vaikuntha. If you're exclusively hearing about the realm of Vaikuntha, and you never give yourself an opportunity to actually hear what the 10th canto has to offer in the matter of the smile on the face, Rasa Panchadhyaya, if you don't hear about them, then you won't know what there is to be attracted to the extent that you're receptive, to that extent, when you hear about them, in the association of the Sajjatiya Sangha, meaning like-minded devotees who are also intent on progressing to the ultimate goal of, or at least understanding seriously, the Gaudiya Siddhanta. But if someone is not even interested to understand what is the Gaudiya Siddhanta, or if after hearing about it, they're disinterested in pursuing it, then it simply means that they're at this point in their sojourn of material existence insufficiently fortunate, insufficient sukriti, accumulation of the sukriti which is required for evolving that lobha.
This receptiveness, how is it, can be checked in oneself? How much am I receptive?
How much you can know whether you're being receptive or not receptive? You mean how much you can know whether or not you have been availed to the mercy of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas? It's not so difficult. You can see whether or not you're becoming interested in those topics of discussion. If you're interested to seek out the truth about the Rajalilas, etc., and you want to know because of an increased interest in those topics of discussion, that increased interest is indicative of the gradual evolvement of lobha or greed. You wouldn't be interested in it if you weren't a little attractive. So the receptivity will be seen in terms of how much you're willing to accept as your goal in life the ideals which are being preached to us. Many of the apparently rudimentary instructions of Srila Prabhupada are simply preparatory in the matter of are actually attaining the highest aspect of the very same thing, which is appearing as a rudimentary instruction.
Rudimentary instruction?
Yeah. Rudimentary means it's for beginners.
For it?
No, just like the instruction how to honor prasad, eating. The same instruction that you're not supposed to just eat for your sense gratification, but you're supposed to eat in the mood of doing seva. Seva beginning with appreciating the mercy of Krishna, appreciating how Krishna has tasted the prasad, appreciating how the devotees have prepared the prasad, how much trouble they took for the pleasure of Krishna, etc. So that mood constitutes honoring prasad. So in the same way, Prabhupada has given an instruction which is meant for more advanced devotees. But you can see the correlation, just to give you an example of how it is so, that it's possible for the basic instructions to be like a foundation for the actual same principle in maturity. When Srila Prabhupada instructs that we offer Krishna what he likes, it doesn't mean veggie burgers, please. It doesn't mean vegetarian shish kebabs. It doesn't mean vegetarian chicken breast in the form of tofu or some nonsense. It means, when Prabhupada says we offer Krishna what he likes, what does Krishna like? Huh?
Sundays. Well, he says in Bhagavad Gita, for example, pampalanta, some fruits, and some preparation, milk preparation. What's Srila Prabhupada in Jesus?
What does Prabhupada say that Krishna likes?
He likes Radharani.
Radharani. He likes Radharani. So therefore, Prabhupada says that we offer Radharani to Krishna. We offer him what he likes. We offer Radharani to Krishna. And then, we relish the prasad.
We offer Radharani to Krishna.
We offer Radharani to Krishna. This is an instruction for those particularly in Manjari Bhav, but also in the upper stages of Sakyaras, followers of Subal. They act as messengers to help bring Radha and Krishna together. So we offer Radharani to Krishna, and then the most astounding part of the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, it's Prabhupada's instruction, for those who are making progress, who are beginning to see the light, at the end of the tunnel, we relish the prasad. If we're offering Radharani to Krishna, then please tell me, what is the prasad and how to relish it? How to honor the prasad? Just like if you offer a nice samosa to Krishna, then how are you going to honor the prasad? What is the prasad? The prasad is the samosa, the very thing you've offered him. And then, how do you honor it? As we've previously pointed out. By appreciating how Krishna has tasted, appreciating the time and trouble, the effort that went into making the preparation, etc. So similarly, when we offer Krishna Radharani, and then we relish the prasad, it means relishing Radharani, please. But not like Ravana was trying to relish Sita Devi, please. Relishing the prasad means relishing the beauty, the sweetness, and everything about Srimati Radharani, but in terms of how Krishna enjoyed all that beauty, how Krishna enjoyed all that sweetness, and furthermore, how much trouble the Manjaris and the Sakis took to bathe her nicely, dress her nicely, decorate her so nicely, and how Krishna has ravaged all that beauty and spoiled all the decorations in the mad frenzy of his loving pastimes with his dear most beloved Srimati Radharani. So the same principle found in one instruction can be found in a much higher, more advanced instruction, which is meant to be applied. So in the same way, just like we see how many times I've heard from different devotees of ISKCON also, and also I've heard from others Gaudiya Math devotees and Babaji Sampradayak devotees, how it is that Srila Prabhupada is in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Because after all, he presented the same again and again. He would try to impress upon his disciples the very verses of Prahlad Maharaj expressing how he was not fearing anything in this material existence, but he was distressed on account of the plight of the fools and rascals of this material world who go on chewing the chewed life after lifetime. How much concerned he was, para dukkha dukkhi, for the plight of the fallen conditioned souls. And in terms of that exhibition of the principle of compassion upon others. So they might conclude that because Prabhupada pointed to that principle, which was exemplified by Prahlad Maharaj, that Srila Prabhupada was propagating the Prahlad Bhav, and therefore he had a liking for that Bhav, meaning that Prabhupada was in that mood. But we prefer to understand that the section of Bhagavatam describing Prahlad Shiksha is the most elementary exposition of the principle of compassion. The principle of compassion finds its zenith in the moods of the Brajvasis. Principle of compassion, but it may not be so easy to recognize. Whereas in the instance of Prahlad Maharaj, it's easy to recognize, first of all, because it's externally directed toward a realm that we can identify with in terms of our own experience of the horrors of the material suffering, adiatmic, adibodhic, adidaivic klesha of this material world, and how people are suffering on account of that's in the grossest form. But even beyond that, above that, is the consideration of how the conditioned souls are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. So therefore, not just trying to relieve them of the pangs of material distresses, but to relieve them of that major point of suffering, which is the underlying root of all suffering, which is forgetfulness of Krishna. But this is all in terms of the principle of preaching Krishna consciousness, which is an external affair. So when the preaching of Krishna consciousness as an external affair is exhibited in the expressions of Prahlad Maharaj, the expressions of Prahlad Maharaj are not inclusive of the principle of reinstating the soul in his ultimate constitutional relationship with Brijendananda and Krishna. So although Prabhupada has appeared to give deference to the exhibition of compassion as per the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, or the expressions of Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, which comes in the form of instructions, more or less, for us. But it would be more realistic to understand that Srila Prabhupada, he's not in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, please. He's just showing that as a basic elementary introduction to the principle of compassion, which is exhibited by Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda is none other than Ananga Manjari, Ananga Balaram, just like Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna Nayanya. Brijendanandan Jay Sachisuta Hoyose, but it's not just Brijendanandan who's become Sachisuta, he's combined with Radharani. So similarly, Balaram Hoyla Nitai, it's not just Balaram who's come as Nitai, it's Balaram combined with his Sarup Shakti. His topmost Sarup Shakti is Ananga Manjari. From Ananga Manjari, Revati, Varuni, and other consorts and expanded forms of Baladev have appeared. Sarup Shakti manifestation. So, but just to show what is the principle of compassion externally directed toward the fallen conditioned souls, the Prahlad Shiksha has been presented in Bhagavatam. But it is leading up to something of a higher order, please, found in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the Brajvasis' loving relationship with Krishna, which are ultimately not externally absorbed or directed, but internally directed. The principle of compassion is found in its topmost expression in the form of Srimati Radharani. Matter of fact, Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion says that Srimati Radharani is the personification of the compassionate nature of Krishna. Therefore, the highest principle of compassion to be emulated is the compassion found in Srimati Radharani, not the compassion found in Prahlad Maharaj. But an introductory course to the principle is there in Prahlad Shiksha. But it's meant to be transposed. The principle is supposed to be transposed. In other words, once you've caught the drift and gained a little experience in the matter of awakening a sense of compassion, your own compassion, because after all, Radharani is the supreme emblem, being the personification of the compassionate nature of Krishna, and the jiva souls are part and parcel of that pleasure potency of Krishna, meaning that we are part and parcel of the compassionate nature of Krishna, meaning that it is our eternal constitutional nature to be compassionate. But compassion, what does compassion mean? Compassion doesn't mean that all the poor babies' diapers need changing. Compassion means that you're introducing the conditioned souls to the natural, ultimate, constitutional relationship with Krishna. And by gradually understanding, step by step, the hierarchy of the principle of compassion in its perfection, one gradually, step by step, becomes more and more compassionate, or closer and closer to the realization of his eternal constitutional identity as part and parcel of the compassionate nature of Krishna, equivalent to what is commonly called self-realization. But what is self-realization? Self-realization means to understand the ultimate expression of your own self's natural compassionate nature, which finds its original feature or its completeness in terms of the expression of the desire, the paradukha-dukhi expression of the maidservant in the Madhurya Ras. We can easily give this, or even in the Sakya Ras also. Subal sees that his friend Krishna is, quote-unquote, transcendentally suffering due to, and although suffering on that platform is transcendental bliss, but don't think it's not suffering. Don't think that Srimati Radharani is not experiencing intense anxiety, intense desperation, but it's all anandamoy. Still, the principle of compassion is how to relieve Srimati Radharani's distress in her feelings of separation from Krishna. That distress far surpasses all the distress, you know, in the material and spiritual worlds put together. So the ultimate expression of the jiva's compassionate nature as a self-realized soul is when the jiva realizes his eternal constitutional relationship with Brijendananda Krishna as a follower of the eternal associates of Krishna in perfection as a Brajbasi. So the Brajabhavas are the highest expression of that principle of compassion, absolute selfless loving service. Just like Vasudeva and Devaki and Maharaj Ugrasen and other Dwarka Parikar of Krishna, and even the queens who are considered to be the topmost Dwarkabasis, they wouldn't give their foot dust to cure Krishna's headache. What kind of compassion is that, please? You see my point?
The last one about the dust.
When Krishna had a headache, no one could cure his headache. So he told that only the dust of the feet of my devotee will cure my headache. So Narada was sent to get the dust. So he went to earthly Brahmins, he went to the Vaikunthabasis, he went to Dwarka. Even the queens of Dwarka, they wouldn't give their foot dust because they were afraid of transgressing the principles of the Grihastha Dharma and thereby lose the association of their husband. And furthermore, only the Brajbasis, only Radharani and her sakis, they immediately gave their foot dust. And Narada was shocked. How can you do that? Don't you know that you're transgressing the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti? Foot dust is not supposed to go on the head, but rather his feet are supposed to go on your head, according to the Vaidika Aishwarya Gyanmayi principles of devotion. So how could you even consider putting your foot dust on his head? Don't you know you'll go to hell by transgressing Vedic Dharma? Aren't you afraid of losing the company of your beloved Krishna? And they say, yes, 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 all these things are true. But knowing that Krishna's experiencing distress is more than we can tolerate. So we would rather relieve him of that distress, because that'll relieve us of our ultimate distress. If he's distressed, how can we enjoy in his company? Better we go to hell than to know that he's experiencing any distress.
This is a compassion.
That's the highest form of the principle of compassion, where they're prepared to give up all rules and regulations, break every rule in the book to go to satisfy Krishna, because he's feeling separation from us.
And probably in our situation, our moment, how do we apply this principle of compassion?
First, compassion is to have compassion on yourself. If you cannot understand the importance of pursuing the highest compassion, which is to have compassion on Krishna. Krishna has been suffering in our separation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and had intense anxiety in knowing of the plight of the fallen conditioned souls. Haridas Thakur expressed in his compassion for the feelings of Lord Chaitanya that, "Do not worry, my dear Lord. By the loud chanting of the holy names of Krishna, even the stones, even the snakes which don't have ears, even the microbes, they will all be delivered back home, back to Godhead." Lord Chaitanya's expression was not based on his fearing the distresses that the fallen conditioned souls are having. It serves them right, the rascals. They deserve to be raked over the coals for having left Krishna. Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radharani, is giving expression to, his anxiety is based on Krishna's feelings of separation from the fallen conditioned souls. That how could these rascal fallen conditioned souls have done that to Krishna, putting Krishna into distress? So his anxiety over the plight of the fallen conditioned souls is not based on their suffering condition. They're based on the suffering condition of Krishna. And by satisfying Krishna's suffering condition, automatically their suffering condition will be alleviated. Their suffering condition is in their experience of having done suffering upon Krishna by shining Krishna on, saying, "See you later. We're going to go pretend to be enjoyers in the material world," and leaving Krishna bereft of their sevas, bereft of their loving reciprocation that he wants too. He has the best association in the spiritual world, but we left to come to this material world. And it's not that he didn't want our association too. He wants everything. He wants everyone. So we've been keeping him in a distressed condition. So doing compassion upon ourself means serving our real self-interest. Serving our real self-interest means serving the interest of Krishna. Without serving the interest of Krishna, there's no question of serving our real self-interest. Automatically, our real self-interest is served by our endeavor to relieve Krishna of his distress by going to him and satisfying his senses, giving him pleasure as part and parcel of the pleasure potency of Krishna, functioning in the capacity that we're supposed to be functioning in as fully self-realized spiritual masters, having actually realized the ultimate siddhanta of the Gaudiya Sampradaya in the matter of culturing Vrajbhakti, which is our natural, eternal right to do so, because every living entity has the rights to augment the mood of Vraja. Every living entity. It's just that some living entities are doing it, and some living entities are not doing it, either by culturing other inferior forms of bhakti, which are not nearly as compassionate, which don't allow them to be all they could be if they would give up their attachments to various other aspects of Krishna's Aishvarya or whatever, or to the Bhoga Aishvarya of this world, of the material world. So,
All this coordinates, compassion, tolerance, they all directly relate to Krishna, and they cannot really exist without him in his highest form.
Yes, without realizing the highest form, we've not actually understood what it is that we're supposed to be understanding. The highest exhibition of tolerance is tolerating the embraces of Krishna, tolerating the scratch marks, tolerating the bites on our lips.
Whatever happens to us, it's ultimate connection with Krishna. Whatever happens to us, let's say,
I'm not talking about the material world anymore. I'm talking about the eternal leelas of Krishna. Ultimately, we have to remember that the purpose behind everything that we're doing, all of our sadhana, everything, is to enter into the leelas of Krishna. Beginning with the Bhauma leelas of Krishna, in the earthly pastimes, in whatever universe we will be transferred to. But the purpose of our going to the Bhauma leelas of Krishna is to be further trained up so that we can be reinstated in our eternal relationship with Krishna in Golok Dham. So the ultimate goal of everything is to attain the supreme position that any living entity can attain is in the Nitya Leelas of Radha and Krishna. And then if Krishna wants us to, he may request us to return to the material world to act as his most empowered emissaries of his compassionate nature, having experienced the contrast of light upon dark in our own consciousness, and thereby able to empathize with the plight of the fallen condition souls. Does it make sense what I said?
Well, what I experienced is you're speaking only on the platform of the soul. And I relate to the principle of the compassion of the prasadam. It helps me to see some other realm of reality that if you want to be for yourself, it gives me inspiration to that.
Very good.
I should aspire for this standard of devotion service.
So, hearing is important. Appropriate hearing. It means discussing, hearing and discussing topics which are directed toward the goal of Braj Bhakti.